Okay. This is Erev Rosh, Erev Yom Kippur, Tavshin Ayin Aleph, 5771. Now, it seems very simple what our job is today, and that is to understand the word tshuva. And we've been talking about it from different angles. What we're going to start with today is we're going to start with Rambam's statement in the beginning of the seventh chapter of Hilchos Tshuva, which you, how many times have I suggested that everybody get this in Hebrew and English? Take it to shul with you on Yom Kippur, and when they're doing all those putim that nobody knows what they're talking about anyway for an hour, you can you can learn something. And you can learn something, okay? You can learn Hilchos Tshuva. So Rambam, we've done a lot from Hilchos Tshuva, but we're going to focus on the first statement in the seventh perek, because Rambam, in a few words, packs in a whole bunch of fundamental ideas that we have been speaking about here in various ways and, you know, over the years, and specifically in the last few weeks. We're going to, the beginning, the ideas in the beginning really are chidushim, or really observations, I should say, that my husband Heshi put together, and he wrote an article recently about tshuva. And then what we will go into from there is are some of the ideas that I heard last year from Rabbi Per, who you know I'm a great fan of. And we're going to be looking at some of those observations also, because they tie in exactly to our what we've been speaking about tshuva. And we'll come to an understanding of a very simple, super simple understanding of what tshuva is, because the real question that we've been working with is tshuva clearly has to be more than apologizing for, you know, violating a law or refusing to do a mitzvah. Right? It's got to be more than just confessing verbally. That is the mitzvah of vidui, to confess verbally, which Rambam states right in the beginning of chapter 1 that it's a mitzvah to do vidui. But vidui is not return. It's saying you're sorry, and it's confessing. Beyond that, there's something much bigger called return, returning. So that even a person who was never knew a word of Torah can return. Even a person who never was exposed to any of the true ideas, you know, that define our people, our religion, can still return. Every human being is capable of returning. So our question is, returning to what? And we're not going to discuss what we did previously in a previous year, the notion of returning to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, returning our souls to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is ultimately true. We're all in the process, as we live day by day, of preparing to return ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if any of you remember from a year or two ago, Rambam brings the halacha in the beginning of Hilchos Tshuva. His opening lines are that you have to do vidui just like when you return stolen money. Remember this? And the Chedushei Arim says, what's the connection? He says, because really, Hashem has given us so many gifts, our life, our souls, all our capacities, our abilities, and it's here for a purpose. And if we don't use everything for a purpose, then it's stealing, right? Just like the food is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's before we make a bracha, and after we make a bracha, it's ours. We've spoken about this, right? I don't know if you remember when we talked about that Klal Yisrael didn't, that their sin by the Chorban was they didn't make Birchas HaTorah. Remember we discussed this topic? In any case, everything Hashem has given us is for use, and we'll discuss exactly what that use is. We'll give it a new way of, a new definition. We've discussed it a million times, but we'll speak about it a new way today. But otherwise, we're stealing. And into everybody's life comes a little geneva. You know, there are times we just don't use the gifts Hashem has given us correctly. And the halacha is you got to give it back, and you got to give back what Hashem has given you, improved, right, with 20% more. So Rambam learns the laws of doing tshuva, of doing vidui and confessing and all that, from returning stolen money. That's the parallel. That's the beginning of that. There's a whole class on that already from the past online. But in any case, today we're looking at Perek 7, Entry 1. This is what Rambam says. And we're going to draw on a lot of stuff that we've been speaking about already. Ho'il u'reshus kol adam nesunolo kamo shebe'arnu. So it is evident, it is true, that the opportunity, the reshus, the ability, the permission For kol Adam, every Adam is given to them. Everybody, every human being, every Adam has the opportunity, as we have described, and he's talking about to do tshuva. Now we know what the word Adam means, right? We've spoken about this a lot. An Adam is not an animal. What defines an Adam is a person, not just who speaks. We've spoken about this. It's an indication, but it depends what we speak about. An Adam is a person whose chachma, we'll call it, whose mind, which is an exceedingly powerful tool, which is given to us in order to accumulate, right? To acquire true wisdom, as Rambam calls it, deot nechonot, correct understanding, correct knowledge. And that mind is supposed to then govern, dominate, direct our instinctual reactions, our feelings, our emotions, until what we know to be true and what we desire and what we automatically understand intuitively to be right and good is the same thing. And then, as we said, our body trots along. That's an Adam. An animal, remember we talked about man being created on the sixth day with the animals? An animal has a body that drives them, emotions that drive them, and they act entirely on instinct. And any chokhmah they have is not used to for abstract notions, godly notions, even ideas such as justice or ideas such as freedom, right? Or 2 + 2 = 4 or trigonometry or physics or whatever. Their intellect is strictly used to figure out how to fulfill the needs of their instinct, which is survival, right? In any case, a human being is a person who has not banished the chachma, has not darkened, right, the truth, and who lets themselves be governed by the only part of us that is attached to our Kodesh Baruch Hu forever, which is our intellect, what we know to be true. That's an Adam. As long as a person has that working, and we call that Tzelem Elokim. We call that, according to Rambam, Tzura, right? This is all familiar? Well, as long as a person has their Tzura, their Tzelem Elokim, somewhat in operation, they're an Adam. They're not going just by gut, just by responding to every momentary provocation, every button that's pushed on an emotional, psychological, physical level, whatever it is. So everybody who's got a Tzelem Elokim, who's got a Tzura, who's an Adam, can do this. Can do tshuva. So now he says, he uses very, very strange words that he doesn't use in regard to any other mitzvah. Rambam wrote the whole Mishnah Torah. He talks about every mitzvah there is. And he never talks about it like this. He says, because everyone has the opportunity, because everyone's capable of this, of doing tshuva, yishtadel adam, a person should try lasos tshuva. Should try to do tshuva. What is that? Las yishtadel. Rambam doesn't say you should try to keep Shabbos, and you should try not to kill, and try not to steal. It's not how he talks. He says you should try. As if Rambam is telling us it's really impossible to command and expect or to achieve total tshuva. The job of a human being is just to try their hardest. So what is tshuva? That it is ultimately, to its nth degree, impossible. We can get 99%, but 100 seems to be out of our grasp. So what is tshuva? And then he says, of course, in the process, lisvados, to confess, or verbally, mechata, from the person's error, their mistakes. Now he uses a phrase that seems like poetic, very amorphous, linor kapav mechatav, and to shake out his hands from his sins. What is Rambam saying here? And he tells you why you should do this. Kedei, so that, sheyamus, why should a person do this? That he should die, vahu bal tshuva, and he will be in a state of tshuva. A person should try so that he should die being in this state. Kedei, sheyizke lechaye olam haba, and that is the merit, that is the ticket, that's the key to olam haba, eternal life. What does Rama mean when he says, shake out your hands? What does he mean when he says, try to do tshuva? Right. So we've said here that an Adam is a person who has everything properly oriented, right? We talked about the events of the Eitz Hadas, which are in Gan Eden, right? We talked about the Eitz Hadas being subjectivity. We talked about the fact that Ish and Isha, man and woman, that's us. We are kicked out of Gan Eden, so to speak. In other words, we enter the real world because we only start counting time from when they're out of Gan Eden. How do we start? We start with the sin already in our pocket. What's the sin? The sin is not, as we said, random people back then who made a mistake and were all suffering from it. The Torah, everything described as taking place in Sheshes Yimei Bereshis, you know now. The Torah is describing it this way through the story of the man and the woman and the tree and the nachash to teach us what is kavua, what is established, what is a given, who are we, how do we work, how do we think. That's what is described in the sin of the Eitz Hadas, and that's how we start life. And it's already described that we remember Perek Aleph, Perek Beis, and Perek Gimel, that man could be a Tzelem Elokim, a Tzura, a person governed by the truth, by Deot Nechonot, pursuing that. As long as they don't indulge in constantly eating from the Eitz Hadas, which means subjective reactions, subjective perspective, right? But that's who we are. Just be careful. We said you can eat from the Eitz Hadas when you're ready, when your brains grow in. Then your subjective instinct can be trusted because it's already been controlled, it's been channeled, it's been harnessed by your chachma. So what is tshuva? Tshuva is simply that a person, every human being, has the capacity to go back to a state of being straight, where their chachma, which is what they know to be true, directs and governs and informs their emotions, what they want, what they like, what they desire, what they're willing to put effort into achieving. And everybody can go back to this state. Everybody can go back to this state. And we'll talk about why everybody, Rambam says, can definitely go back to this state. But you have to just admit that the times we made mistakes, and the mistakes we made, the mitzvahs ases or mitzvahs los ases that we either violated or we didn't fulfill, that's just symptomatic of the bigger error, which is we blocked out the chachman. We went, as Parshas Nitzavim says, b'shrirut libi, by the authority of my own heart. We just went according to what our heart told us. So we have to admit the mistakes we made, which were just symptoms of that error, and shake out our hands. So Heshi points out that the Mefarshim here explain that this phrase, shaking out your hands from your sins, is a direct allusion to a pasuk in Yeshayahu, Perek Lamed Gimel, Pasuk Tesvav, where Yeshayahu talks to Klal Yisrael and says that they have to shake out, no'er kapav mitmoch bashochad. Shake your hands out from taking bribes. Now, what do we know about bribes in Parshas Shoftim? We just read a few weeks ago in Devarim. Ki ashochad yaver einei chachamim. Because bribery blinds the eyes of chachamim. But wait a minute, we're not judges. What is Rambam saying? We're not judges, we're not taking bribes. Rambam is saying, yes, we are. Every person is meant to be a judge of themselves, to be a little objective, to see things straight. How are we doing? How are we not doing? The problem is that we know that when you bribe a judge, you do something which gives them pleasure. Even if it's intellectual pleasure, you teach them an idea, or you give them emotional pleasure by talking to them a certain way, or material pleasure, physical pleasure, you buy them tickets to a concert, whatever it is. The problem is that if you derive pleasure from someone, you are predisposed to see them in a favorable light, right? That's inevitable. So Rambam's saying we are all judges. We're all supposed to be objective about ourselves. The problem is we bribe ourselves all day long by indulging our own pleasure, whatever that pleasure is, psychological pleasure, thinking the way we want to think, feeling the way we want to feel, reacting the way we want to react, doing what we want to do, saying what we want to say, having the emotions we feel like having at the moment, whether they're right or wrong. So all day long we pleasure ourselves. So of course we're blinded. We have no chachma. The einei chachamim, the eyes of the chachamim go dark. That's us. Which is, by the way, exactly what happened after the sin. By eating from the Eitz Hadas, which means in diving headfirst into our own perspective on life and just living in that world, their eyes opened up, which is another way of saying their chachma went dark. Remember, Rambam says that before they ate, they perceived truth. with their chokhmah. But when they shut that out by becoming subjective, then all that happened is their physical eyes opened up, physical eyes, not their neshama eyes. Neshama eyes closed, their physical eyes opened, which is a form of blindness, because now they only see the way things appear to them, not what things really are, not the truth. So Rambam says you have to shake your hands out from the bribery, that we're always bribing ourselves, always being so good to ourselves, forgiving ourselves, understanding ourselves. Try to get to be objective. Everybody can do this. Try to get to a place where your chachma speaks, the truth speaks, and not our particular small vision speaks. And why should a person do this? Kadeshu yamas v'hu bal tshuva. So that a person should die in a state of tshuva, of having returned to being yashar, to being straight, because that is chayi olam haba. We said that the only person that can, the only part of us that lives eternally, is in the machshava. The body doesn't live, the emotions don't live. We share that with the animals. Only the machshava lives, and how it directed our emotions and how it directed our body. When we say the machshava, our yirah shamayim, our fear of heaven, our love of Hashem, our intentions, our kavana, the mitzvahs we did that all start here, the averus we stayed away from that all start here. That's who we are. That's our tzelem elokim, our tzura. That's what lives forever. That's called chayi olam haba. If we don't develop that, then as Rambam says, we're in an animal that simulates the appearance of a human being. It's not an adam. Okay. This being the case, that everybody can do tshuva to what? Let's say it's called a state of being yashar, just straight. That's the new word today. Yashar, straight, what your mind knows conclusively to be right and to be true, to want to love that, to want to feel that, to want to pursue that. And Rambam says, by the way, in the sixth chapter, I think it is, sixth chapter, that if in Halacha Hey, he says that if a person pursues Darche Chachma, the ways of Chachma v'tzedek and justice, truth and justice, you know what happens to the person? It's not that they're always in a war, always in a conflict, always battling the Yetzer Hara and the Yetzer HaTov. A person wants to be Yashar. If a person starts following, pursuing Darche Chachma, the ways of Chachma, which is true wisdom, Reishis Chachma, the basis is Yiras Hashem, fear of Hashem. That's real Chachma. Then, and Tzedek, and justice, Misave Lehem, he finds that he has a taiva, a passion, in English we'll call it a lust, but we don't mean it for what's coming. It develops a taiva, a real desire for Chachma and Tzedek, for being straight. Verodefosam, and starts to pursue them continuously. So it happens in the other direction. A person also has a desire and is also hardwired to pursue chachma and to live as a person who's yashar. Now, here's where we start with what Rabbi Peres started talking about. He brought down a pasuk in Koheles, the end of Perek Zion, and you'll understand now what this means, because we've done so much talking about that ish is chachma and isha is lev, and how they have to be one, and how the stronger force of the two is which? Which is the stronger force of the two in the end? What's the Isha or the Ish? The Isha. Because everybody knows that if there's a conflict between what we know to be true and what we want, who usually wins? The passion, the woman, so to speak. But the only problem is, why can't you then just trust the instinct of a person? Because it's in the grip of the nachash, remember? The body's interest, self-pleasure, self-gratification, the here and now, not the future. But when the mind and the heart are purified, then you can trust. Then you can trust. Then we go back to a state of trusting the lev, the heart of a person. So here's what Kohela says. The end of Perek Zion, the last two psukim in Perek Zion, okay? He says, in Koheles, you know, Shlomo HaMelech is talking. He's looking for truth. And now you understand what he means when he says these words. And you don't see it as an insult, okay, if you read it as pshat. He says, and which my soul sought, lo matzati. Asher od biksha nafshi, what I kept seeking, lo matzati. I couldn't find it. What did he seek? Adam echad me elef matasi. One man in 1,000 I found. But isha, but a woman, b'chol eila lo matzati, I never found a woman. In other words, a straight, a good, a perfectly, perfectly pure woman. You know what that means now. In other words, you can't find, and that's why Rambam's going to say yishtadel, you got to try. You can't necessarily find the element of a person, which is called woman, that's completely purified and devoid of the slightest bit of subjectivity, even Moshe Rabbeinu. Chazal say, he hit the rock. And he had some degree of his own perspective, which brought him to anger, which Hashem said was wrong. And this is Moshe, who went for 40 days and 40 nights in a state of physical hibernation, where only his mind was awake and expanding with all the chachmah that more than any human being ever knew. Moshe was on a degree where there was so much truth and wisdom, which so completely, almost completely governed how he reacted to everything. And Moshe Rabbeinu still had an element of his view versus Hashem's view. And what we've said it here in a different way, that the Anochi Hashem Elokecha of Har Sinai, with all the shock and awe, the thunder and the lightning, the whole Maim at Har Sinai, still could not utterly shatter the little Ani, I, right? So he says, one woman, lo matzati, I can't even find one that's utterly pure. He's telling us the human condition. That's who we are. And then he says the following. He goes to the next pasuk. He says, Levad, see, Re'ei zeh matzati, but this is what I found. Not found technically, what I understood, what I came to know. I found this to be true. Here's what Shlomo HaMelech found to be true. He says, Asher asa ha'elokim es ha'adam yashar. Elokim, that's Perek Aleph, by the way, because in Perek Beis it's Hashem Elokim. Perek Aleph, Elokim asa es ha'adam yashar. Hashem made a person yashar, straight, with chokhmah, with a passion to implement what they know to be true. And what happened? Hashem did divide in Perek Beis the man and the woman, but he also brought them back together in Perek Beis, the mind and the heart, the man and the woman, and said, "Vayu lebasar echad," you could be one. That's Perek Beis, you could be one, right? So he says, Hashem Elokim, Asher Asa Elokim Asa Adam Yashar. Hashem made a person Yashar, and Adam is every human being. This is not talking about only Jews. And the next words, Vehema, but they, the two of them together, once they were two and not one, Bikshu Cheshbonot Rabim. They started seeking all kinds of other calculations that took them away from just being straight. Now, Bikshu Cheshbonot Rabim means they seeked out Cheshbonot. It wasn't that the Cheshbonot came to them automatically. They began to seek out all kinds of other calculations. You know, I once saw written somewhere, before you start praying that the Yetzer Hara should stop chasing you, stop chasing the Yetzer Hara. In other words, Rashi, by the way, says here on Elokim, Asher Asa Elokim Esa Adam Yashar, he said, it's talking about Adam Harishon. He says that right here. Bara Halukim es ha'adam harishon yashar. That's what he says. Veheima and they, who's the they? And he says it in his code language. Mishen is davgalo chava ishto, when his wife, Chava, was paired up with him, venasu shnayim, and they became two, nikru, now they're called heima, they. Now it's not one. So the first thing is that everybody innately, automatically, from our in our gut, there's an opportunity, there is a possibility to be yashar, because that's how we started out. But then what did we do? We ate from the Eitz Hadas, which is another way, or we eat from it all the time, which is another way of saying we just follow our instinct, and then we make all kinds of calculations to rationalize for ourselves and use our mind not for chokhmah, but for great, great sophisticated strategies. How to do what we really want to do anyway, which is what we want to do, not what Hashem says is right. And all kinds of cheshbonos come in, and we fool everyone, and the most people we fool the most is ourselves. For sure. We can easily see when someone around us is fooling themselves. and going down a path that is so subjective and so wrong and so contrary to how they should feel and how they should think and what their attitude should be and how they should behave. But to them, it makes total sense. This is what has to be done. And they need emotionally to do it. And we could talk ourselves blue in the face. Forget about it. Right? We've all been there. So these are people are mevakesh. They seek out cheshbonot rabim, all kinds of calculations. And then that makes them not yashar. It's the same thing as where Rambam says to shake out the bribery. Stop doing things that give our own self-pleasure, make us predisposed to see everything we do correctly, and just go back to straight thinking, a little objectivity. Now, Rambam, in another place, okay, this is the last Rambam. Rambam wrote the Mishnah Torah, 14 volumes, right? So in the section called Zeraim, the section that he discusses, these halachas, Zeraim, he's in the section, the last section, which is Hilcha Shmita V'Yovel, Perek Yud Gimel, and the last Rambam, Yud Gimel, okay, in the whole volume, he discusses that Shevet Levi, is dedicated to serving in the Beis HaMikdash and all of that. But then he says the following. He says, however, the obligation or the possibility for a person to be of service, to do something greater, is not relegated alone to Shevet Levi. And these are his words. V'lo Shevet Levi bilvad. It's not just for Shevet Levi. Ela kol ish v'ish. Every single human being, mikol ba'ei ha'olam, everyone who has come into the world, that doesn't mean Jews alone. Every human being has the possibility, and this is what he's saying here. Everybody can. Everybody's got the opportunity. That's what he says in Hilchos Tshuva. So you should try. Everybody that comes into the world can find that perhaps they can begin to feel, right? Or there are human beings, and we hope we're one of them, asher nadva rucho oso, that his spirit volunteers him. He has an interest. It comes from inside. He feels a drive. Vehevino mideo, and he vehevino midao, that he understands from his knowledge, that there's something he needs to do. He feels the spirit move him, and he just knows there's something he needs to do. And what is that? Lihibadel, to separate himself. Lamod lefnei Hashem, to stand before Hashem. Lasharso, to service him. Laavdo, to do the work. Ladas es Hashem, to know Hashem. And look at his next words. He's clearly making a reference to the pasuk that we just read in Koheles. V'halach yashar, he wants to go straight, to walk yashar. Kemo she'asahu ha'elokim, like God made him, that's what Koheles says. Uparak me'al tzavarav, and he throws off from his neck the yoke of all ha'cheshbonot, all those calculations, harabim, those many, many calculations, Asher bikshu b'nei adam, that people seek. So every human being, it is possible, Rambam says, for every person whose spirit moves them because they feel it and they understand from their own das, from their own intuitive knowledge, that what they really want is to separate themselves from all the rat race, the noise, the messages coming at them, they'll take themselves out of it, which means they become a loner. They have to do things that not too many people relate to. They'll have fewer friends who get what they're after, who appreciate what they're after. But they know that they want to be yashar the way Hashem made them and throw off the yoke. It's a yoke, it's a burden of all the calculations and distractions and things we pursue that take us away from Yashar. It's a choice to cloister oneself in a way. That's why there's a tremendous Yetzirah to, lock ourselves up in a yeshiva, in a shtetl, in a little community where everybody's the same and everybody's doing the right thing and live simply and learn Torah, and that's it. And not everybody can do that, and it's not reality for everyone, but to some degree or another in every person's life, there has to be a person has to become aware of the voice inside of them that tells them, enough with all the distractions and the noise and the pursuits, I just want to be yashar. just want to do what's right. That's what Rambam says here. And he says, Hareze niskadesh kodesh kadashim. This person has become removed, mufrash, and what we call holy, the holiest of the holies. Vahayiya Hashem chelko v'nachlaso. Hashem will be his portion and his chelek, his part in this world. Hashem will be by his side. La'olam ula'olme olamim, forever and ever in all the worlds. That's what Rambam says in Hilchos Teshuvah. That's chay olam haba, that's eternal life. If a person becomes yasher, then their chelek, their portion in the world, what they have to hold on to is a Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'yizkelo ba'olam hazeh, and he will have in this world, he says, he merits in this world what he needs. Just like the Kohanim and Levim got the gifts from Klal Yisrael, all the various gifts that they needed to survive. And then he quotes from David HaMelech. He says, David HaMelech says, Hashem menas chelki v'kosi atah tomich gorli. Hashem is my portion. It's my strength, my lot. A person throws their lot in with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, but there takes the sacrifice here is lehibadel, to separate oneself. Because most people don't have the strength or the clarity or the consistent determination to do this. We do it here and there for moments, but it's a consistency. And he calls the person Kodesh, Kadoshim, and Hashem is their Nachala, La'olam, La'olme, Olam, all the worlds. That's the goal. That's what we call simple tshuva, just going back to being Yashar. Bilam says in Parshas Balak, and you know who Bilam was, right? Because Bilam was the one who he called himself, right? Blind, right? Where are we? Let's go. Let's find him. He called himself Nu'um HaGever. These are the words. Here. Stum Ayin, right? He called himself blind. He couldn't see the truth. He looked at Klal Yisrael. Hold on, Pinchas. He called himself blind, right? He looked at Klal Yisrael and he only saw the bad, but what came out of his mouth obviously was the good, right? But he himself only couldn't see straight. And here, and then he says, hold on, let me just find it. Oh, I had it here. He says, hold on. He says, Mo. Oh, I didn't write down the pasuk. Oh, yeah, I did. Yeah, oh, okay. I got it. Here. Yeah. He says, he calls himself the one who's blind of eye. And then in Perikov Gimel, Pasuk Yud, after praising Klal Yisrael, he says, Mi mana afar Yaakov, who can count the dust of Yaakov, mispar es rova Yisrael, who can count the myriads of Israel? And then he says, Tamos nafshi, mos yesharim. Let my nefesh, my life end. Let my soul die, the death of yesharim, people who are straight. Fetehi acharisi kamohu, and let my end be like them. He understands that they're yesharim. Klal Yisrael are yashar. And he sees them yashar in the midbar, and he appreciates the value of that, and he desires that he should also be yashar. And right before this, he said about Klal Yisrael, "Hein am levadon yishkan ubagayim lo yischashav." They are a nation that stands alone, that dwells alone. They're never going to be like the other people, and that's what we just said. Rambam says there, a person who wants to be yashar has to be separated, because the world isn't yashar. The world is seeking endless calculations, endless things, endless reasons. Look at how they view Eretz Yisrael. Look how they view the Jewish people. The truth is so obvious, what we've contributed, the blessing we've been to mankind. But they can't see it. There's no gratitude. There's no respect. There's no status, gurnish, only the opposite. Nobody's yashar. Yashar, just follow what you know without your own desires for whatever it is getting in the way. And the world has a hard time doing that. But Klal Yisrael, they're unique, but they're alone. They're levadad. It's a certain individualized commitment to do this, whatever happens around you, whatever everybody else is doing, to separate. That's part of going back, of tshuva, of being yashar. And Mesilas Yesharim says in the Hakdama, in the intro to Mesilas Yesharim, says the fact is, as Rambam says, everybody has the opportunity, and therefore everybody should try. You can't necessarily, as Shlomo said, get to a point of complete, total purity where the Chachma informs you to a degree that you see things only from Hashem's perspective and there's no remnant of your own subjectivity left. That is not for this world. That's for the next world, when Hashem really opens our eyes and we really understand everything. Remember the mashal of the blind man who talks about red and yellow and green but never saw the colors? And then one day their eyes are open. That's not an increase in knowledge. That's what we called an expansion. Because you always knew what you were talking about, red, green, and yellow, but you just quite didn't know what you're talking about. Here, we try our best to see things from Hashem's perspective. We talk about the mitzvahs. We talk about tzaddik v'ralo. We say we have emunah when things don't go right. We say that everything Hashem does is for the good. We say, we talk about a lot. We integrate it, but we don't necessarily get it. We don't really see things from Hashem's perspective, that it was good and that it was right. Can anybody see tragedy like that? Really? So we talk about Baruch Dayanemis and everything is good and all that, but our eyes haven't been open to understand what we're talking about, to have Hashem's perspective completely. Once we get that, that's in the next world. That's an expansion of what we knew but didn't quite get. Then we've returned completely. But in this world, it's not entirely possible. As Rambam says, Yishtadel, you should try as best as you could. But at the same time, as we said, a person is created with the desire to be yasher. So, and we feel that those stirrings in us. We want to do what's right. Kids certainly have a natural sense often of just to do what's right before they're corrupted. And we also get sick of being so subjective and being and losing. Where did our dreams go? Where did our ambitions go? To be good, to be perfect, to do, you know, to be objective and to be pure in our thoughts. So he says in Mesil Shasharm, Afal pi, even though shekavar kavuim b'lev kol ha'adam, it is already kavua, established, hardwired in everybody's heart. Hayashar, being straight. Right? It's already established, its foundations are there, its yesodot are there, right? Its support is already there, but still, im lo yasok behem, but if a person doesn't get busy and busy themselves with trying to be yashar, yira prata v'lo yakirem, yavor aleim v'lo yargishbam, so then he just won't recognize when there's an opportunity to be yashar, when, how they should behave. He just will be blinded to it, even though it's kavua, even though there's yearnings and stirrings in our hearts to be yashar, and we could be yashar. If a person doesn't listen and put in the effort and be aware of that, he'll just, you know, mull right over those feelings. Just, you know, bulldoze right over those feelings and never even recognize them. And he says, He says, the concept of chasidut, which we'll call piety, and the issues of fear and love and purity of the heart, they are not necessarily natural in a person to a point that you don't have to employ any tactics to acquire them. In other words, it's true that to be yasher is naturally inside of ourselves, but to achieve fear of Hashem and purity of the heart and piety, it doesn't just grow automatically without any effort put to cultivate it. So we have the possibility to be yasher, but it must be cultivated. And this is what we said a couple weeks ago. When Hashem created man on the sixth day with the animals, right? Not ready, premature. In other words, not quite a tzura, not quite a tzelem elokim, not quite yasher, but with the possibility of being yasher and the possibility of not being yasher. But the one thing we know in Perek Beis, even though it calls man afer min adam, a dirt of the earth, and nefesh chaya like the animals, but it says in Perek Beis, vayipach ba'apo nishmas chayim, but he blew into his nose the neshama of real life. That's life. So he said, what does the neshama do? What's the job of the neshama? The neshama is not a person, tzelem elokim. That is us, what we give birth to. We create our tzelem elokim out of who we are. What is the job of the neshama? The job of the neshama is this. The neshama speaks to us. It drives us to want to be yasher, to want to be a Tzelemakim. It tells us that it's really the purpose, the tachlis that we feel. It makes us miserable when we ignore it. After Matan Torah, I venture to say that any Jew who still has some connection cannot really enjoy a sin, because we can't blind out all what we know to be true. That there's no need to be yashar and there's no need to do what's right, and we just can't ignore that. It just annoys us, you know. No matter what, we can't escape that. So he says, though, that even though we're driven to do it, you still have to work on it. It doesn't necessarily come automatically. And the neshama just pushes you and pushes you and pushes you and tells you that that's what you want. That's that voice that's constantly not leaving us alone. And David HaMelech says this in L'David Hashem Ori that we read every morning. He says in Pasuk Ches, Perek Chav Zayin, L'cha. What is L'cha? To you. Amar Libi, my heart says to me, Bakshu Panai, seek my face. So Rashi says, L'cha, B'shlichutcha, B'shvilcha. L'cha, David is saying to Hashem, on your behalf, on your mission, in your shlichut, you've sent my heart to be a messenger. On your behalf, my heart speaks to me. And what does it tell me to do? It says, Bakshu Panai, seek my face. Always be a seeker. Not Heim Bikshu Cheshbonot Rabim. Not seeking all kinds of calculations and rationalizations and strategies to do what we want to do. But Bakshu Panai, seek to know my face. And my heart automatically tells me to do this. Every person who's not utterly dead to their Tzelem Elokim hears the stirrings of their heart telling them to go back to a place of Yashar, to go back to Tshuva, to go back to their higher self. And David HaMelech says, and you know what? He says, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh, and I do. I always seek your face, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what I'm always seeking. I'm always trying to reassess if I'm doing things right or if I'm way off on my own. So the Torah in Nitzavim tells us, furthering this idea, that when Perek Lamed, that people go on long journeys in life, and Jewish people have been on a long journey. And v'haya ki yavo alecha kol hadvarim ha'ele habracha v'haklala asher nasati lefanecha. And it will be, this is individual and as a nation, when all these things transpire, all the blessings and all the curse, you live long enough, you've seen the ups and downs, you've seen how things go, we've achieved a little wisdom. What's going to happen next? The pasuk says, v'hashevosa el levavecha. What do those words mean? And you shall return to where? El levavecha, to your heart. You will return to your heart, to what your heart is telling you, to what's already built in, to the truth that's already there, that you know. You're going to return to your heart. Targum says, v'sasav lelibcha, you'll return to your own heart. In other words, your heart, your gut, your instincts, what we know to be true. That's what you're going to return to. It's going to happen through experiencing all these various brachas and all the various klalos, and therefore the klalos themselves help you return to your heart. They also serve a purpose. They also have an influence. And then what are the next words? He says, and you will return to your heart, b'chol ha'goyim asher hidachacha Hashem Elokecha Shama, in the midst, while you're still among the nations, that Hashem has pushed you there. In other words, it'll come a point in everyone's life that even though we're still surrounded by, submerged with the nations, in other words, people who don't see things our way, people who are still pursuing their distractions, even then, we won't be at peace, and we will return to our own hearts and know that this isn't good enough for us. This isn't keeping us happy. We have to separate. We have to take a new path. And these people that we're surrounded with are people that Hashem pushed us there into those places. By the way, it says in Nitzavim that it says in Devarim, I'm not sure if it's in Bahu Aovdim Me Eretz Ashur, Baha Nidachim Me Eretz Mitzrayim. Now, what's the difference, my grandfather says, between Haovdim and Hanidachim? Everyone's going to come back to their hearts. The Ovdim, the ones who are lost in Ashur, and the Nidachim in Mitzrayim. Well, Ashur, we know, was a gullus that was like America, wealthy and pleasant and everything. And there, people get lost because of the pleasures. Those people will get sick and tired of just this, in the gratification and all that, and come back. But there are other people that are far away from Judaism too, or far away from truth, and they're called Nidachim. They've been pushed away. They're not just lost. And they're in Mitzrayim. They've been pushed away because of tzaras. Mitzrayim is metzar, constraints, difficulty. They've been pushed away because of tzaras, because of the Holocaust, because of personal difficulty. They've been pushed away. They have a hard time seeing things from Hashem's perspective, seeing Jewish history as being every part of it, the good and the bad, helping us forward. And they've been pushed. They've been pushed away. They also will come back. They'll also come back to their hearts, to what their heart is telling them. Because as we said many times, just because, unfortunately, there was a Shoah, that doesn't mean Hashem didn't give the Torah in Har Sinai, and the mitzvahs aren't for us, and we don't need to do them. One doesn't contradict the other. And so even those people who are pushed away will come back to their hearts. And then the Torah goes on to say, V'shavta, and you'll return, Ad Hashem Elokecha, to Hashem. And then, after that, V'shamata Bekolo, you will hear His voice. Which voice? The voice that's saying, Lecha, on your behalf, David said, Amar Libi, my heart is speaking to me. In other words, first a person has to feel the stirrings of their heart to be Yasher. And then they have to come back, which means they have to implement that. They have to start doing what's right. And then, when they do what's right, they'll begin to hear that voice speaking to them stronger and stronger and stronger. And that's what we read before, that if a person is nimshach, starts to pull himself towards, okay, starts to pursue darchei chachma, truth, v'tzedek, tzedek is same as yashar, straight, right, tzedek, tzedek, tirdof, the judges are told, just be just, do what's right, then misavel lahem, he begins to desire them and run after these ways. That's another way of saying he really hearing HaKadosh Baruch Hu's voice speaking to them. But first a person has to choose to just do tshuva, just be straight. Then act on it. Then that voice gets louder and louder and louder. And that voice has the capacity to drown out the noise that everyone else, everywhere else is making around us. That in the previous, in our earlier years, distracted us so much we couldn't hear anything. So here, my grandfather says one last thing. In Parshas Ekev, which discusses Ma Hashem Ata Yisrael, Ma Hashem Elokecha Shoam, what does Hashem want from you? Kiyam liyira, to fear Him, to go in His ways, and to love Him. And he springs down here from Koheles, just the same Koheles that says, Elokim asa sa adam yashar. Koheles says, Elokim asa, Hashem made, she yiru milpanav, Hashem made it that you will fear Him. He made it easy to be aware of Him and to fear Him. And in the Gemara Brachos it says, Amar Rav Alexandri, Amar Rav Yeshua ben Levi. They say, how do they explain this, that Hashem made it that you should fear Him? Lo nivru Re'amim, thunder and lightning, or really what we're saying is natural, the great natural forces, the tsunamis and the hurricanes and the earthquakes and all this. Why does Hashem make all that? Right? Ela lafashet akmomius shebelev. Just to straighten out the crookedness that gets into our hearts. In other words, even in the world around us, a person just has to open their eyes, see the complexity and the force of nature itself can bring a person. Certainly does this for children before they're corrupted, to realize, of course, there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And of course, this whole world is in Hashem's hands. And of course, we are hardwired to know intuitively what HaKadosh Baruch Hu really wants from us. Why do we feel so good when we do a chesed? We feel so violated when there's an injustice. Chesed, MS, the basic things. Because we know it already. So tshuva is, as Rambam says, ho'il, it's evident. Rishus nesuna, everybody's got the ability. So yishtadol adam, person should try. Lasas tshuva, to go back to being straight. Confess the mistakes we made, which are just symptoms of not being straight. Shake out our hands from all the bribery that we're constantly indulging in. And why? Kadesha yamus v'hu bal tshuva, so he should die in a state of being able to return, being able to exist in Hashem's world. And that's called chayim. And I'll add the last part, which my grandfather, we've said it, we say it almost every year. It's in my grandfather's sefer on Rosh Hashanah. And it's pretty much probably the most repeated Rosh Hashanah Dvar Torah out there. You know, after the Akedah on the second day of Rosh Hashanah, there's another paragraph, right? Does anyone know this? Sound familiar? Mm-hmm. And the paragraph says, and this one gave birth to this one, who gave birth to this one. These are the, you know, Milka, right? Right. Exactly, right? And you don't know all these. And why is this included in Rosh Hashanah? I mean, it's in the Torah, but what's its relevance to Rosh Hashanah? All the, this one begot, this one begot, this one. So, all the begots, right? So, the thing is this. You go through all these names, and you don't see anyone familiar. Like, whatever, who are these people? What do I care? And then all of a sudden, you see, oh, Besuel. I know Besuel. Besuel, that's a familiar name. Who is Besuel? Father of Rivka and Lavan. So it says, Besuel holidus Rivka. These are the children of Milka, that she gave birth to Nachor, your brother. Someone's missing. In other words, this is the Sefer HaChaim. Okay? The Sefer HaChaim is the book of who's alive, who lived, who existed. Hashem wrote this Sefer HaChaim. The Sefer HaChaim is also open on Rosh Hashanah. In the book that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wrote of who lived in this world, guess who's not there? Lavan. If we could get a glimpse into the Sefer HaChaim that's open on Rosh Hashanah, we would go through scanning, oh, here's my uncles, my aunts, oh, my parents, my... You expect to see your name in the Sefer HaChaim. And the Sefer HaChaim doesn't mean who's going to live another year. Sefer HaChaim is who is alive, which means who has a tzura, who has a tzelem elokim in operation, who's yashar. Although it's just an animal that doesn't, and they're not alive because they're dead after a few years. Nothing lives after them. We want to be alive in the Sefer HaChaim. That's called returning also. Existing eternally, being able to return to our original state, that's here, but that gives us life in the next world. Another way of saying it is this. There's another way of saying it. A person can be said to be alive, as Chazal say, tzaddikim are alive when they're dead, and rishayim are dead when they're alive. A person can say, be said to be alive, to be in the Sefer HaChaim. Okay? If, as we said, they have a tzura, they have a tzelem, but there's one more aspect to it. The purpose of walking around this world with a tzelem elokim, with chachma, as a tzura, is for what? We say that we want to bring the awareness of Hashem to this world. If we all would just be up in heaven, then Hashem could have left us up there. We obviously have some kind of job down here. Somehow we are supposed to bring the recognition of Hashem, the awareness of Hashem, to this physical material world. Another way of saying that is the word to have, in the phrase, to have influence. To have some influence in this world in a positive way. If a person has a tzelem elokim in operation, then that person has some influence in their own life and the people around them to make others recognize, and Klaisel or Arlegayim, the ultimate influence, that there's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. And it's worthy to know Hashem and to be Yashar in the way Hashem created us, to have influence. If a person has no influence in the world, they, in a ruchnius way, they could live like Lavan a whole big life. But if they did not influence the world in a positive way, in Hashem Sefer HaChaim, they are not in existence. They never had Chaim. The raya for this, by the way, is by Paro, and this we're going to end, by Paro's daughter went down to the river. And she wanted to save Moshe, remember? And it says, V'narosen, her naros, holchot, were walking on the riverbank. And Rashi says, holchot lamut, walking to their death. What does that mean? What that means is they were walking with her, but we know that they told her, don't save Moshe. That's what Rashi to the Chazal tell us. Did she listen to them? No. She dismissed them. which means from that point on, because she ignored them, they had no influence. They were irrelevant. Rashi says, because they were walking on the riverbank with the intention to tell her not to save Moshe, they were walking to their deaths, because that choice would make them forever after irrelevant, without any influence, playing no role in this world, because they undermined an area, something that could have been, that they were trying to undermine, right? In the act that ultimately saved the world. So they were holchot lamut, going to their death, going to irrelevant. For somebody to have an influence, because there's a tzura, a tzel makim in operation, then they are chai. Tshuva is to get back to a point where we're yashar, so that we can have an influence. Because if we're not, who's influenced by an animal lurching from one motion to a motion? Nobody. So our tefillah is at on Yom Kippur. We should have the zechus to do real tshuva, which is in a certain way simple, but in a certain way it's a real commitment, as we said, to be separate, to do something unique. I just want to make two announcements. Number one, Mir Hashem, we will resume the Thursday after Sukkot. And number two, if I've said anything or whatever to offend anybody here, okay, then please be mochel me. Everyone have a gemar chasima tova.
Just fell out.